So you had a press conference today.
Yes.
I have a question.
Yes, sir.
We have Obamacare and now this, the immigration bill. We seem to have this habit in Congress of dropping bills. People don't know what's in it. They haven't read them.
Right.
Are we going to have hearings?
Absolutely. Well, first of all, the difference between Obamacare and this bill and many other bills, for example, is that they're cut in secret by a group of people and they're brought right to the floor and you're given a few hours to consider it, maybe a few days, maybe if you're lucky, a couple weeks. This bill is going to go through a long process. I mean, we've just introduced it. There's going to be hearings tomorrow on this bill. There's going to be hearings next week. An additional committee, the Joint Economic Committee, is going to have hearings on it as well in May. In fact, the Judiciary Committee won't even start considering amendments to the bill, the committee, until next month. And then beyond that, obviously, it's got to get through the whole amendment process in the committee. When it emerges from there, it's going to go to the floor and go through that amendatory process. In the meantime, weeks and weeks will go by. It's already posted online on my, and I encourage people to go on our website, marcorubio.com, and read it. And I look for their input. I'm sure there are things that we can improve in it, and I look forward to hearing input on how to do that.
So I just want to make sure I don't doubt you, but I just want to make sure I understand that this bill will go through a normal legislative process. We'll have hearings. We'll have witnesses. We'll have a full-blown public discussion of this bill.
That's what I've been assured. Obviously, one of the principles that I outlined when I first came out, and when I outlined my own principles on this issue back in January, and one of those principles is that this issue be considered through the regular legislative process, not rushed to the floor for a quick vote on something people don't understand. And that's one of the things they've agreed to do, and I hope that they'll keep their word on it. Beyond that, I would remind people the House will also have something to say.
Right.
So this is not, I mean, I don't even anticipate this issue being on the floor of the Senate for weeks, multiple weeks.
Has Senator Reid given you his word that he'll go through the full process?
That's what he has told me up to this point, and that's what we would expect. I think it will fail if it's not done that way, and quite frankly, I will not be able to support a product that I feel my colleagues have not had the opportunity to have significant input on, even if they end up not supporting it. I think all 92 other senators have an interest in this issue and deserve to have an input, and quite frankly, I think they can make it better.
Do you trust Harry Reid to do that?
Well, listen, ultimately, I don't know Harry Reid that well. I've only been in the Senate for 2 years. All I can tell you is that I don't think this bill will succeed if it's not part of a deliberative process. I think if this is an issue that you try to rush to the floor, it will fail. And quite frankly, it will be impossible for me to support an effort that I don't think my colleagues have had a fair opportunity to have input on. I've been consistent on that principle and continue to be. And that's why I'm encouraging other committees, not just Judiciary, to hold hearings. And we've already gotten another committee to agree to a hearing, that Joint Economic Committee, which includes members of the House, will have hearings in May as well.
One of the problems that I perceive that we've had in the Department of Homeland Security, I was on the transition team that created the behemoth, and I actually regret having done that. But one of the problems that we've had within DHS is the way it now works. Is there any guarantee that you can give that Immigration and Customs Enforcement will actually be consulted and actually be a part of the process, and they will be allowed to honestly testify about what they think needs to be done?
Well, again, that's what I hope. I'm a member of the Republican Party, as you well know, and we have the majority in the House, and that's one of the places where I think we can surely ensure that this testimony happens. In the Senate, obviously, we have influence because, you know, we're senators, but unfortunately, the Democrats control the Senate and limit who gets to testify. Beyond that, I would say, however, that we should be very strong and unified in calling for that and in getting input, not just in these public settings like in these committee meetings, but also meeting with these folks and trying to get their input about how to improve this process. I think the fundamental complaint that I hear from those on the front line is that they're not being given the opportunity to enforce the existing laws, that their hands are being tied behind their backs, that this administration is making it difficult for them.
Right, okay.
And that's a very legitimate point, and we should be listening to that and trying to do what we can legislatively to prevent that from happening.
So you just raised an excellent point. If they say that they have their hands tied, so to speak, in enforcement, why are we not focusing on enforcement right now and decouple the amnesty or the provisional, whatever you want to call it? Why don't we decouple those and deal with border security first?
Couple reasons. First of all, because by identifying and freezing in place the problem we have with those that are here illegally, we actually help the enforcement efforts because it will allow us to focus our enforcement efforts and our limited resources on the criminals, the gangbangers, the traffickers, etc. Second point, the bill mandates things that will improve enforcement significantly, an e-verify system, a universal e-verify system, which people have been asking for forever. And a universal entry and exit tracking system at all the seaports and airports. So we will be tracking visa overstays, which are 40% of the illegal immigration problem, in real time. Beyond that, it creates a program where basically if the Department of Homeland Security in 5 years does not achieve 90% apprehensions and 100% awareness of the border,
I'm sorry, Senator, I'm sorry.
They lose control of the issue.
Okay, sorry to interrupt, but What I read is it's 90% in high risk or high enforcement problem areas.
Well, 90% and right, but I mean, right now, for example, six of the nine border sectors are generally under control. Three border sectors have the majority of the immigration problems.
But Senator,
all sectors have to be secured. In essence, if another sector falls apart.
But that's what's going to happen. They're going to move.
No, exactly. And then those become the high-risk sectors. That's my point. The high-risk sector is a place that's high-risk. And so if, in fact, a border sector that today is doing better all of a sudden falls apart, it now becomes one of the new high-risk sectors. The point is, the Department of Homeland Security, which, by the way, within 5 years, Janet Napolitano will not be there. She's only has 3.5 years left. If at that point it has not achieved that goal, they lose control of the issue to the border state governors, who will then have money set aside in escrow to finish the job.
Okay, I don't want to get too far off track, but you also said something. She won't be there in 3.5 years.
That's right.
I want to come back to border security in a second, mm-hmm. but I can't let that point go. If part of the belief is that she won't be here in 3.5 years, there's no question that the Democrats use immigration as a political issue. They use it as a wedge issue.
Yes.
To drive a wedge between Republicans and Democrats. How does this not drive a wedge between voters and Republicans?
In terms of the...
Just the whole issue. I mean, are we not playing right into the hands of Democrats? Well, it's all about electoral politics.
Well, I don't know. It's not for me.
You just said Janet Napolitano will be gone in three and a half years.
My point, because people keep saying that she won't enforce the law, how can we trust her? And my point is, well, she's only, even in the best case scenario for her, she'll only be here for 3 more years. Obama won't be president forever. That was my point. But on the political point, I would just say, if we're motivated by politics, if Republicans are doing this because they think they're going to win more Hispanic votes, that's not the reason to do it. The reason, quite frankly, why I want to address this is because I think what we have now is bad for the country, and I want to see us fix it. And otherwise, if nothing happens, the status quo is even worse. What we have now is we don't know who these folks are. The law is not being enforced. Our legal immigration system is based on the 19th century, not the 21st. And so what I'm trying to do is fix it in the best way possible. The reason why I'm addressing the issue is because the Democrats were going to raise it. It wasn't like they weren't going to raise this issue. And if they're going to raise the issue, we must have an alternative that's better than what they're offering.
Can you just tell folks in Colorado, what does border security mean to you?
Well, border security means we control it, that we have sovereignty of the border. Listen, are you going to stop 100% of the people every single day, every year? Obviously, someone will. I mean, people used to get past the Berlin Wall. So, I mean, do we control the border? Do we have operational control of it? Can we see all of it?
Are we
doing a good job of apprehending people? And more importantly, with the border, it's about the national security component of it. It's not, I don't support a landscaper or a maid coming across the border illegally. But what should keep us up at night is that a border where people can be trafficked and can also be trafficked.
And again, sorry to interrupt, but because I agree 100%, it's first and foremost a national security issue.
Right.
So if that's the case, why are we giving DHS, who has fumbled around now since 2003, I was there the day it stood up, it has done nothing to improve border security. So if it's a freaking national security issue, why aren't we holding their feet to the fire?
We should.
And say right now, seal it up.
We should. And that's
why isn't Congress doing it?
Well, I think they are. I mean, they hold hearings on it, but how do you do that ultimately unless you can pass a law? You've got to pass a law that requires them to do it, or they lose control of it and it's given to somebody else.
So why aren't we doing that first and focusing on the other people who are here secondarily?
I'll tell you why, and that was my original position. Let's do the security first, and then let's legalize the folks that are here. The problem with that is what do we do with them in the meantime? In the meantime, while we're waiting to finish the security part, you have millions of people running around working on documents that aren't theirs, not paying taxes, unidentified, we don't know who they are. We've got to freeze that problem in place before it gets worse. And we've got to make sure it doesn't grow anymore.
But it's been that way since 1976.
What's that? I'm sorry.
The people here just swirling around.
Okay, bottom line, but the point is that if it was 1 or 2 million people, that's one thing. It's 11 million, 12 million, 9 million. We don't know. That's the fundamental problem. We don't know. And that's just not the status.
But you see that, that argues for securing it first. Right. Before doing anything else.
Well, ultimately, the bottom line is, what do we do in the meantime? While we're waiting for the security, do we just ignore the people that are here? Is it a game of cat and mouse where if we catch them, they have to leave, but if we don't catch them, they get to stay? My goal...
Part of this bill, the way I read it, at least the stuff that was put out today, is that if they've been deported, they can actually come back and apply again.
That's not true. Again, the only exception that we made were for people that were deported for non-criminal reasons that are being reunified with their children. That's the only exception, and that's a very small number of people. Quite frankly, I wasn't necessarily a huge fan of that provision, but ultimately I figured let's be on the side of family reunification. If they're not criminals, and if they're being, in essence, they weren't deported for criminal reasons, and if they're being reunified with children because of family reunification. Otherwise, they don't have a right to come.
Do you see this as being family-based or skills-based legislation?
We changed that. That's one of the best approaches to this bill that I'm really in favor of, is that we modernize the system away from the family-based. For example...
So for H-1B visas, or are we going to do for high skill or low skill?
Even the green card program becomes more based on skill and merit than it is on family. We get rid of the diversity lottery. We get rid of the brother and sister category. We get rid of the brother and sister category. We get rid of the brother and sister category, so people are claiming their spouses. They're claiming they can claim their spouse. They can claim their children. They can't claim their brothers and sisters or any of these other categories. So, and it moves it towards a merit-based system where we prioritize the merit-based immigration, the people that have skills and job offers and opportunities to contribute economically.
Why was ICE kicked out of the hearing today?
Well, I didn't kick them out. I think that was a mistake. ICE wasn't. Okay. Chris Crane was.
And Chris Crane,
I think
right.
He shouldn't have been. I met with him on Monday. I look forward to meeting with him again. He's a law enforcement officer. He should have been respected and not treated like someone did something that was wrong.
Thank you.
That was unfortunate. Thank you. And I hope we'll hear from him, because Chris's complaint is a legitimate one, and that is that they are not being allowed by this administration to enforce the law. In fact, they are actively involved in a lawsuit, and I hope they're successful at that. And I hope we can have significant input in them on how to improve the system.
Your staff thinks I work for them. They're trying to signal me to shut up.
But I'm not
going to shut up until you shut up. So,
all right.
Senator, good to see you. Thanks.
Thank you, Michael. I appreciate it.
You bet.
Take care.
There's the interview with Marco Rubio. We'll take calls on that after this break, 303-713-8255. In the meantime, let's go talk to my friend Jason McBride over at Presidential Brokerage. Hey, Jason.